guys are excited, eh? Merry Christmas, Rob. Yeah, you are excited, right? Who's got presents yet? Who's opened their presents yet? Whose tradition is it for Christmas Eve when they have the big family do? Oh, it's just us, hey. What about Christmas Day? Oh, there's some at the back there. What about Christmas Day? Who's a big family? Yeah, everybody else. There we go. Let's open up. We're going to go to Luke's story of Christmas, of Jesus being born. So open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to have it up on the big screen. There we go. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to that house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And so while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." It's really interesting that Luke in his story starts with this name. He starts this story about Jesus' birth with the name of Caesar Augustus, a person who was known as the Imperator Caesar Divifilius Augustus, the Emperor Caesar, son of God, August, magnificent, great. The world already saw and knew that there was a Son of God. There was really no need for a Jesus, right? We don't need another Son of God. And yet he opens up with this little incident that we kind of jump over to get to the real good stuff. See, Luke, he was a doctor. And anyone who knows doctors, right, they just tell you what you need to know. They never kind of give you more information. They just give you what you need to know. And they don't tell you things that you really don't need to know. So Luke here is telling us a story. And Luke, like a good doctor, he's telling us something we really need to know. And so the early people who first read this book, first read this letter from this doctor, this Luke, they read the name Caesar Augustus and all sorts of things pop in their minds. Something that we don't feel today, because this guy lived too long ago for us to even think about. For the people back then, it meant something. It evoked an emotion. It evoked a sense of feeling of what's happening right there, right now. For those of you who were raised in the 70s, this name would come to mind, especially those who traveled the Mediterranean area and who were had experienced what, you know, terrorism looked like in the 70s. For many of us today, we look at that name and don't think about it. But for those of us raised in the 70s, that name kind of brought fear to traveling in planes. For people outside of New Zealand, Pike River might mean nothing at all. It's just a place. But for those who'd lost their loved ones, it means government ineptitude, maybe corporate greed, loss of a loved one. It's something that now has a serious connotation in our country today, does it not? It evokes an emotion. It evokes a response. For some of us, Mount Erebus evokes a response. an orchestrated litany of lies. Again, for some people outside of our context, they wouldn't know what that all meant. But it means something to us, just like those who first read this letter. They're about to read about the birth of Jesus. They're getting excited. This is how he was born. And Luke starts with this name, Caesar Augustus. The way the world was at that time was important to those who read it, just like it's important to us today. Back then, they were going through all sorts of crazy things, crazy world leaders, poverty, wars, droughts, economic troubles, instability. Really not much different from us today. We see our world today and we think, ooh, that's not that much different than what it was back then. But the question for us, I guess, we're faced today is, who takes the place of Caesar Augustus today? If Luke were to write this story today, who would take that place? What events would spark our memory, our thoughts, our feelings? They were all geared up for the birth of someone, this Messiah to come. They had a prophecy that said to the world, this is what he's going to look like in Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Peace, justice, righteousness. These were words that resonated with those in the first century who were looking for something, for someone. They were wanting peace, not the Roman peace, not the peace our politicians keep bragging on about. They were looking for justice, not the kind of justice the courts were doling out, but real justice and righteousness. And righteousness. It's interesting how Luke starts the story with this little census, this little event that just kind of blends in with the story. Today, for us, we fill out a census. They're boring, they take up our time, and you've got to fill in all the little boxes and do everything, send it off to the government. Doesn't matter how you send it or what you write, they're still going to tax you, right? They ain't going to stop nothing. And then later on, we'll take a look at the census. No big deal. But censuses back in those days in the Middle East were a huge deal. People rioted over censuses. People died during this time because it evoked an emotion. It evoked a response. It evoked a lot of questions. Questions like this, like, who runs the world? And who are you to tell me to run it and you run it? How is it run? And who profits by it all? What about me? Who gets crushed in the process? And more importantly, when's it all going to change? And what should we be doing about it? Censuses were times of great upheaval. The Romans wanted to control the population. They wanted to tax them as well. They wanted their money, and they wanted to control the people, and the people who were oppressed, looking for peace, for justice, wanting to live righteously. We're asking these questions, when's it all going to change? What should we be doing about it? When we read the story of Christmas, when we are challenged by this baby in a manger, sometimes we just get so caught up in the celebration when we forget the challenge. The challenge of what Jesus did to come to this earth. He came as a wonderful counselor. He's called Mighty God. He's called Everlasting Father. He's called the Prince of Peace. He chose to come in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of craziness. And for us, Christmas is just another day in the year. It comes, it goes. How is it challenging you? Is it just another story? Is it just another celebration? Another gift to unwrap? Or is it a challenge for us to see what Christ was born into? And the challenge he lays at our own feet in this world that is a little chaotic, with rumors of war, with leaders and politicians making some really, well, typical decisions, and the rest of us standing around saying, when's this all going to change? And what do we need to do to change? The challenge of Christmas. Jesus came to bring peace. He came to restore justice. And he came to instill righteousness. These things, believe it or not, are very tiring stuff. You know, it's a lot of hard work to try to keep peace, try to instill or bring back justice and try to live righteously. It's a full-time job. People like William Wilberforce will tell you it took their whole lives. Because they were changed. They read about the emperors and they heard the song of the angels and their lives were changed. Their lives were changed, not just to open presents or to respect this one day a year, but to actually grasp what it meant to say Jesus is come. And I'm not just all the better for it, the world is all the better for it, and I have a responsibility now to be a part of that change. Yeah, Rob, I thought we were here to hear a nice little sermon about Christmas. I can't help but challenge you, as I feel challenged myself. But we're not all great political leaders that can go out and make these great changes. We're not all William Wilberforces or Dietrich Bonhoeffers or any of these people. We're just living here in little old Lower Hutt. So what can we do? What can inspire us at Christmas time? A little baby in a manger. Two illegitimate parents. How does that help us? We can start with prayer. Pray that this Prince of Peace, who has been ushered into the world, that you may be a part of his plan for this world. And how can he work through you so that his kingdom may truly be here? Jesus said throughout his life, the kingdom of God is here. It's now. Many of us are waiting to get to heaven. Let me tell you, heaven has already come. Heaven is already here. Our series on Revelation shows us heaven is not some far-off place. It's where the heart of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. What part can we play in that? Pray to the Christ child this Christmas and ask him, what part can I play? How can I be a part? How can we be a part of your kingdom, Lord? Watch. Keep your eyes open to what's going on around the world. Emperors are moving left and right. Yes, it's little old Lower Hutt, but you know what? We're called to see the big picture. We're called to see the hurts and the injustices around the world, and we're called to challenge them. We're called to face them. Just as Jesus did. So keep your eyes open. What needs to be challenged? What needs to be seen? What's moving? Unfortunately, as Christians, we tend to grapple on these, well, I think they're little subjects, little things. They keep us distracted while the world burns. Keep our eyes open, watch, and finally also listen. The song of the angels is something we tend to not hear It's just a proclamation of the Lord, this new Messiah born. But do you know how crazy their proclamation was? First of all, they go to shepherds who are out in the fields at night. Not really high up there on the shepherds' list there, hey? I'll book the fields tonight. Why? Because I just don't have space in the morning. Everyone else has got it. What do you think they do during the day? They sleep. And they tell him, the Messiah has arrived. An angel appears. I mean, goodness me, an angel. Go, you'll find a baby wrapped in a feeding trough. That's the Messiah. Really? But they're listening. God's calling you. And are you listening? For those of us in ministry, it's easy. We have a calling to ministry. It's clear as mud. But you have a calling too. Here to where God is calling you to serve Him. Have your ears open to where He is calling you. This Christmas, as you open presents and enjoy family time, for some of you, it might even be a time of sadness as you remember your friends and family that are not there with you. But in this time, in all that it goes on in your life around these 2 days, listen for what God is calling you to. Listen. The end of Isaiah's prophecy, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. He will make it happen. And He wants you to be a part of it. And always remember that Jesus didn't just come to save lives. If He just come to save lives, you know, the Bible would be a very short book. You wouldn't need 4 Gospels. He came to change lives. And He's calling us to be a part of that. This is the beauty of Christmas, that every year we're reminded of this, and every year we celebrate this, and every year we are challenged by this. Pray and watch and listen. And may God bless you, and may God uphold you and your family. In Jesus' name, amen.